This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome, our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this is our sixth majlis, our lessons in usul al-fiqh. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we are currently going through two texts, two mutun. The first one being Ta'hil al-Fiqhi, the Usul al-Fiqh part of it. And number two, Imam al-Juwayni, Imam al-Haramain, his small work entitled Al-Waraqat, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this being our sixth majlis, what did we cover in our previous majalis? Remember, we stated that Usul al-Fiqh revolves around four axes. The first one being the hukm, the wajib, the fard, the mustahab, something which is makruh, something which is prohibited, haram, etc. The final ruling with regards to something. Jameel. Then also we have the adilla, the evidences, the agreed upon evidences and the deferred upon evidences. We've covered the Quran, we've covered the Sunnah, we've covered ijma', mashallah. As for qiyas, then we will discuss this later on bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. As for disagreed upon evidences, evidences where there's ikhtilaf, qawl as-sahabi, opinion of the sahaba, the matter of the people of Ahlul Madin, the opinion of the people of Medina al-Munawwara, the Sharia of the people before us. These matters, there's ikhtilaf, and we will discuss that later on, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Number three, the third axis is what? Dalalatul lafz, the implication of the text. That this text here, what does it imply? What's the connotation of this text? We obviously need understanding of the Arabic language. The mujtahid, the mustadil, the mujtahid, the one who is using the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, he's using the usul al-fiqh to finally come out with the answer, the hukum. This scholar, he needs to understand the Arabic language. He needs to understand the dalalatul alfaz, the dalala of the lafz of the text, the implication, the connotation of those texts. Walhamdulillah. And that's what we were introduced to in our previous majlis. And the fourth of the four axes of Usul al-Fiqh is the Mustadil, the Mujtahid. And we will discuss that later, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. With regards to Dalalatul Lafz, the implication of the text, then we were introduced to the Nas, where the text is explicit. It is unequivocal, it is clear-cut, not open to any interpretation whatsoever. There's only one meaning, khalas, nothing else. You cannot say, well, 3 means 4, and 3 means 7, 3 means something else. No, فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامُ, fast 3 days. It is nas in the mas'ala, it is clear-cut, walhamdulillah. Only one meaning attached to it. Then we saw something else, which is the zahir, the apparent, the manifest, the dominant meaning. So maybe there's a few meanings associated with this term, but there is a dominant meaning. And the default rule is, we must go with the dominant meaning until proven otherwise. Until proven otherwise. Jameel. Then there is the mu'awwal, the non-dominant meaning, non-apparent meaning. Sometimes we do go with the mu'awwal. We do go with the non-dominant meaning. Why? When? Well, if we have evidences to indicate that that is what is meant. Example, awtiru ya ahl al-Qur'an, O the people of Qur'an, make salatul witr. There's an order here. Awtiru fi'il amr, this is an order. But subhanAllah, that's the apparent, that's the manifest, that's the dominant meaning here. But we don't follow that dominant meaning here. Why? Because of external evidences, because we have elaboration in other places in the Quran and the Sunnah, which indicate and show us clearly that only Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, they are the obligations. And so it can't be that this hadith is stating that Salatul Witr is an obligation. No, it must be that this is highly recommended. This is something which is mustahab. So here in this hadith, we went with the awwal meaning and not the zahir meaning. Why? Because of evidences which indicated that we should go with the non-dominant meaning. MashaAllah. Then we covered mujmal. What is mujmal? Well, we have a text, we have a word in the Quran or in the Sunnah, and it doesn't have any dominant meaning. It has maybe three meanings, and all of them are on equal footing. Now, how do we give preference to one over the other? We require bayan, we require elaboration from the other texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. Walhamdulillah. Jameel, mashaAllah. Then we also learnt about mantuq, that which is said, that which is explicit, that which is stated, and mafhoom, that which is understood, that which you read between the lines, mafhoom, that which is understood. The brother, he says, please stand up. That was mentioned, that's the mantuq, stand up. What is mafhoom, what is understood? Don't sit down. Don't lie down. Don't go jogging. All we want you to do is stand up. Excellent. And then with regards to mafhum, we learnt about mafhum muwafaqa and mafhum mukhalafa. Mafhum muwafaqa is like, for example, the Quran states, don't say uff to your parents. Somebody comes along, he swears his parents, he beats his parents, he kills his parents. Allah musta'an. These acts are even worse than what was prohibited. As many ulama call it, qiyas awla, that it has more right to being prohibited than what was mentioned in the text of the Quran and in the Sunnah. Jayid. So there's mafhum muwafaqa. Then mafhum mukhalafa, the opposite, Jayid, like the hadith, fi sa'imatil ghanam, that in the sa'ima of the ghanam, there is zakah, the animals which are free grazing. They are sa'ima animals, free grazing, and they eat from the grass that Allah has provided, mashaAllah. So you need to pay zakah on those animals. So the understood opposite would be that the animals that you feed them, you provide the food for them, etc., then these animals are not zakatable. You don't pay zakah upon them. Similarly, that min fatayatikumul mu'minat, the Quran states that you can get married to believing slaves. So majority of the ulama said, well, Allah stated we allowed to get married to believing slaves. So the opposite would be that the non-believing slaves, we can't marry them. So a Jewish slave, you can't marry her. A Christian slave, you cannot get married to her. Majority applied the mafhum mukhalafa here. Whereas the Hanafi scholars, remember, they said that mafhum mukhalafa is not a hujjah. And so they state, you can get married to a Jewish or a Christian slave. And that's the opinion of the Hanafi scholars. Walhamdulillah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, this is what we covered in our previous majlis. We move on now, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. The author states, min anwa al-zahir, that the different types of zahir, zahir, that which is apparent, that which is manifest, the dominant, that which we go with, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, until proven otherwise. Remember, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, dalalatul al-alfaz, the implication of the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. The mujtahid, he wants to deduce and extract rulings from the Quran and the Sunnah. And so this mujtahid, he needs to be well versed in the implications, the meaning, the understanding behind the words and the phrases of the Quran and the Sunnah. He needs to have a firm grasp with regards to the Arabic language, so that he deduces correct rulings from the Quran and the Sunnah. Here the author states, min anwa al-zahir, al-amr, al-nahi, al-aam, wal-khas, al-mutlaq, wal-muqayyad, al-amr, that which is prescribed, the command, the order, and nahi, that which is proscribed, that which is prohibited, that which is forbidden. Number three, al-aam wal-khas, the general and the specific, al-mutlaq wal-muqayyad, the absolute and the restricted. A book, a green book that is restricted, we will discuss bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Now what's the zahir? What's the default rule with regards to these four? Then here it is. Number one, al-amr, haml al-amr ala al-wujub. That is the asl, that is the default. That we will regard the order, the command, as an order. We will take it as an order. We will take it as something which is obligatory upon us until proven otherwise. Until proven otherwise. Jayid. Number two, an-nahi. حمل النهي على التحريم. This is the أصل. We will regard the نهي, the prohibition, to be regarded as haram until proven otherwise. Something which is prohibited, it will be regarded as haram. That is now applying the zahir. We are applying the dominant meaning. We are applying the manifest meaning, the apparent meaning. Apparent meaning is something which is prohibited is haram until proven otherwise. Number three, العام والخاص. التمسك بالعموم حتى يرد التخصيص. We will regard the text as being general until proven to be specific. Until proven to be specific. Somebody comes along and he says, I want to get married to 6 wives. We say, this matter here, you are not allowed. He says, but I want to follow the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to prove to him that this marrying more than 4 was something specific and khas for our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The general rule is, we will follow the general, we will go with the general until we can prove something being specific. Excellent. And the last one, المطلق والمقيد. التمسك بالمطلق حتى يرد التخصيص. That we will hold on to the absolute until we can prove some restriction. Until we can prove some restriction. So we say to the brother that give all the students a chocolate. And then he does not give Salman. We ask him, why didn't you give Salman? He says, because Salman is tall. Because Salman is wearing red shoes. Because Salman is Caucasian. Because Salman he has a blue bag. Where did you come with all of this from? Where did you come with these specifications and these restrictions? You are supposed to follow the official default rule until proven otherwise. If we said to you, give all the students a chocolate except the one with the red bag, except Salman, except those who failed in the test. Now you have evidence for some sort of specification or some sort of restriction. بإذن الله تعالى. Jameel. The author, what does he state? He states that الأمر استدعاء الفعل بالقول. استدعاء الفعل بالقول, طلب الفعل بالقول, that you are ordered to do something via a statement. That an order has come upon you, and this order has come via a statement. And this order must be from some sort of higher authority or someone in a position of superiority. As for the kid, 2-year-old kid, saying to his father, buy me the toy. Is that an order? Is that an order? No, that's not an order. That's not an order upon the father, Jayid. But your boss at work, he says to you, finish the assignment before Thursday. Is this a recommendation? Is this is something which is, maybe you do it, maybe you don't? No, this is an order. This is an order. It's a command. He requires from you compliance. Excellent. So, استدعاء الفعل بالقول. And this is coming from a higher authority, someone in a position of superiority. Remember that with an order and even with a prohibition, that there is a request. Either the request is for you to do something, or the request is for you not to do something. You either requested, do your homework, do the salah, pray the salah, ordered to do an action, or you ordered to avoid and restrain and stay away from something, ordered to not lie, ordered to stay away from zina, etc., etc. Jayyid. So with regards to the amr, that which is prescribed, that which is an order, that which is a command, the author states, ما يدل عليه. How would I know that this is an order? Look in the Quran and in the Sunnah, etc. How would I know that this word here, it is an order upon me, that it is requiring me to do something? So the author mentions 4 phrases, and we will add a few more, insha'Allah, Jayid. فِعْلُ أَمْرُ. This is a verb, imperative, order. The verb which is ordering you to do something. اِذْهَبْ. Go! Exclamation mark. اِذْهَبْ. Go! فِعْلُ أَمْرُ. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ. Establish the prayer. Pray the salah. Aqim as-salata. Surah Isra, verse number 78. The next one. Fi'l mudari' al-muqtarin bilam al-amr. Fi'l mudari' present tense verb. Majzum bilam al-amr. It is majzum and there's a lam al-amr attached to it. Example. Wal-yatawafu bil-bayt al-atiq. And make tawaf around the ancient house. ordering you to make tawaf around the Kaaba, Surah Hajj, verse number 29. Or for example, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَسُمْ. See the lamb of Amr there. فَلْيَسُمْ. Whoever witnesses the month of Ramadan comes upon you and you are well and all is good. فَلْيَسُمْ. Then he must fast. You have to fast. Surah Baqarah, verse number 185. Then the author mentions number 3, ism fi'l amr. Example, alaykum anfusakum, that save your souls, be careful, be wary with regards to your own self. Alaykum anfusakum, Surah Ma'idah, verse 105. Or the hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, iyyakum wa zulma, iyyakum wa zulma, beware of oppression. Be careful with regards to oppression. What is this? This is an order upon you to be wary with regards to oppression. And then this also قول as-sahabi, أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, or أمرنا, our Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered us to do something, or we were ordered to do X, Y, and Z. Then there's a few others the author did not mention. For example, خبر بمعنى أمر. That's some information here, but the meaning behind it is an order. Example, والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء. That the woman who's been divorced, then she is in a waiting period for 3 قروء. For 3 قروء, جيد, she goes through this عدّة. So here the wording does not contain an order, but the meaning is an order. Allah is stating to us that the woman who's been divorced, then she goes through the عدّة of these 3 قروء, inshallah. Jayid. Surah Baqarah, verse number 229. Then there's also Master An-Naib an Fi'il Amr, the verse in the Noble Quran with regards to jihad and battle. إِذَا لَقِيتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَضَرْبَ الرِّقَابِ. When you meet those in battle that you are fighting against, then smite their necks. Smite their necks, that you fight them in this jihad. Jayid. فَضَرْبَ الرِّقَابِ. Surah Muhammad, verse number 4. And there's a few others. There's a few others which also indicate command, which also indicate a request upon you, something which is prescribed upon you. Walhamdulillah. Jameel. The author then states that it's dalala. Now that we've figured out some of these phrases in the Quran and in the Sunnah which indicate an order or a command. Now, it might indicate that, but does it necessarily indicate an order? Let's see. The author states dalala, its implication, the implication of an order. Is the implication of an order an obligation? We'll discuss. Or maybe it's a recommendation. Let's see. Jayid. Binafsihi, by itself. The first one there, al-wujub inda al-jumhur. There's about 15 opinions. Majority of the ulama state that the command, the order, it is regarded as something which is an obligation. That is the zahir, that's the apparent, that's the default rule. An order, a command is an obligation until proven otherwise. Walhamdulillah. What could it mean? What else could it mean? It could mean maybe it's a piece of advice. Maybe it's something which is permissible. Maybe it's encouragement. Maybe it's a warning. Maybe it's a threat. Maybe it's a dua. Maybe it's a phrase of contempt. But the default rule is that the command is regarded as an obligation according to majority of the ulama until proven otherwise. Walhamdulillah. So al-wujub, that it is regarded as an obligation until proven otherwise according to majority of the ulama. Number 2, al-fawr. When we find a command, it means it implies immediate compliance. It means it implies immediate compliance. Jayid, your father says to you, bring my shoes. You don't say to him, today or tomorrow, dad. Next week, now or tomorrow. Jayid, by default, it is immediate compliance. And subhanAllah, true obedience to your father would be that you implement his words immediately. And so, what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jayid? And so, immediate compliance also indicates, masha'Allah, that full obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the author states, al-fawr inda al-jumhur, that an order, a command, implies immediate compliance. It requires from you immediate compliance, according to majority of the ulama, unlike Imam al-Shafi'i and the Shafi'i scholars. Shafi'i scholars said, no, it's not necessarily an immediate obligation, Jaid. And for example, they had then the issue of Hajj. So when Hajj becomes an obligation upon you and you have the wealth, etc., does it mean the next Hajj you need to go for that Hajj? Majority of the ulama said yes. Because it's an obligation upon you now. You became a millionaire, mashallah, or you have enough money to perform that Hajj. Well, as soon as possible, you need to do that Hajj. The next Hajj season, you need to go. It's an obligation upon you. The Shafi'i scholar said, no, you can do it, you know, the next Hajj, or the one after, or the one after. It's an obligation upon you, and you can decide when you want to do it, right? So that's that mas'ala there, right? Your father says to you, uktub, write. You don't need to ask him, should I write now or when, Jaid? So, ala kulli hal, similarly with regards to the matter of zakah. Zakah is an obligation upon you. The time has passed. You need to sort it out ASAP. You need to sort it out immediately, Jaid. So, this is fawr according to majority of the ulama, not according to Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, Jaid. The next one, that the implication of a command by itself, it indicates tikrar al qawl. Tikrar. It means that repeated compliance, repetition, that you require repeating this matter, Jaid. Ala qawl, that there's an opinion from Imam Ahmed that this is what is required. Repetition is required. The majority of the ulama say no, repetition is not required. Example, the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said to the people to perform Hajj, then somebody asked, Ya Rasulullah, is it every year? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, why are you asking this type of question? If I said every year, then it would be a burden upon you and you would need to do it every year. So by default, you don't need to do it every year. By default, you don't need to do it every year. And that's the opinion of majority of the ulama, that a command, it's not something that requires repeated compliance. Single compliance will suffice. Ala kulli hal, the ulama go into greater details here. They say, for example, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a command upon us. This is something which requires repeated compliance. You can't say, well, on Thursday I don't believe in Allah. All the time you need to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jaid. Obeying the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this one time in your life you need to obey him? No, repeated compliance is required. So they obviously repeated compliance. With regards to salah, not repeated compliance. You have five prayers. The period in between, you are not in any salah, Jaid. We discussed the matter of Hajj. So ala kulli hal, as long as you understand this mas'ala. The next matter, the author states that ijza, that the implication of a command, of an order, is that if you fulfill it, then ijza, it is sufficient, it is counted from you, and it is valid, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. You've done it properly, then it will be counted that you've done it, walhamdulillah, you've sorted it out, masha'Allah, tabarakallah. Jayyid. Then the next one, annahi an diddihi, that a command implies that you are prohibited from doing the opposite. You are prohibited from doing the opposite. We said to you, stand up. So what does this imply? This implies you're not allowed to sit down, you're not allowed to lie down, you're not allowed to jog, you're not allowed to do anything else. You are ordered to stand up. Excellent. So annahi an diddihi, Jayid. And then the author states, wujub qada al muaqqat in fata. Important mas'ala. That it's an obligation upon you that if you do not fulfill it, you need to make qada of it. I repeat, a command. The command has come. An order has come. What does this command imply? It implies an obligation upon me. Excellent. And it also implies that if I don't do it, I need to make up for it. I need to make up for it. By default. And so, for example, somebody, he was at a soccer match and he missed his Salatul Asr. And so somebody says to him, brother, you need to make the qada. He says, no, I missed the prayer. It's gone. It's over. Provide for me evidence that I need to make qada. Where's the proof that I need to make qada? We say to him that, brother, the default ruling is that wujub al-qada al-mu'aqqat in fata. The default ruling is when the command and the order came, that if you missed it, you needed to make it up. The original text provided this evidence. جيد. We don't require any new evidence to prove this matter. This is the opinion of the Hanbali scholars. وجوب قضاء المؤقت إن فاتا. That by default, if you missed this command, if you missed this obligation, you need to make it up. You shouldn't be asking for some new evidence to prove that you need to make it up. No, the evidence is in the original command. You've not fulfilled the original command. You need to make qada and fulfill that original command. Like your zakatul fitr, your normal zakah, your salah, etc., your fasting month of Ramadan, all of these matters. If you missed it, and you haven't fulfilled, then you need to go back and you need to sort it out. Alhamdulillah. So that's what the author covers here, that its implication, its connotation by itself, and then bighayrihi, that by another, that it could mean something due to some external evidences, like as we mentioned, an order, a command, because of other evidences, it could mean that it's recommended, but not a command, not an obligation. It could mean maybe a dua. It could mean something which is permissible. We say that, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Oh Allah, give us in this dunya. Are we ordering Allah? Are we ordered? We are requesting from Allah. We are making dua to Allah. Jayid. When the kid says to his father, buy me a toy. Buy me a toy. This is not a command from the kid upon the father. Jayid. So the words of command, they could also mean advice, something permissible, encouragement, a warning, a threat, dua, contempt, like we saw, O tiru ya ahl al Quran, O the people of the Quran, make your witr. Here it's an order. The text is an order, but this order does not translate into obligation. This order translates into recommendation because of external evidences. So that's why the author states bighayrihi, by other evidences, then bihasab ad dalil, based upon whatever that external indicator indicates. If the external evidence indicates encouragement, then it's encouragement. If the external evidence shows us that no, what was meant here was dua, then it's dua. If the external implication was that it is something permissible, then the answer, it would be permissible. But what's the default rule? The default rule is that a command, an order, is regarded as an obligation until proven otherwise. Walhamdulillah. It also requires from us immediate compliance. It requires for immediate compliance, as we saw. Does it require tikrar, we saw that upon an opinion, the answer is yes, but majority of the ulama says no, that repetition is not required. We said that if it is done and you complied by it, then it's ijza, it's sufficed from you, it's valid bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and it also means the opposite of, it also means prohibition of the opposite. Excellent, walhamdulillah. The author does not mention, but there's a few other masail that the ulama discuss when it comes to al-amr, that al-amr ba'd al-nahi or al-amr ba'd al-hazr lil-ibaha, that the order after prohibition equals permissible. The order after prohibition equals that which is permissible. Example, that كنت نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور فزوروها فإنها تذكركم الآخرة. I used to prohibit you from visiting the graves, and now visit it because it reminds you of the hereafter. This is the opinion of majority of the ulama, that if we have an order now, visit the graves. This is an order. We have an order, but it has come after a prohibition with regards to that same act, then it will not equal obligation, but rather it will equal that which is permissible. And so it is permissible to now visit the graves. Not say an obligation, but rather it's permissible for you to visit the graves. I repeat, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, I used to prohibit you, haram, I used to prohibit you from visiting the graves, and now visit the graves. Order, the text, order to visit the graves, because it reminds you of the hereafter. Now this order, would it be that it's fard for me to visit the graveyard? The answer is no, it would be permissible. Why? Because of this rule that the ulama state, any order which comes after a prohibition will equal ibaha, will equal permissible. Jayid. That's the opinion of majority of the ulama. But there are some ulama who disagreed. and their opinion holds a lot of weight. They said, in reality, يُفِيد مَا كَانَتْ تُفِيدُهُ قَبْلَ النَّهِي. An order to do something after that same something was prohibited would now return to what it was before the prohibition. Did you get that? The order to do something after it being prohibited would be what? Would be equal to what it was before the prohibition. And so visiting the graves before it was prohibited was something recommended. And so now when we are ordered to visit the graves, it would not be an order, nor would it be permissible, but rather it will return to its original ruling, which was something which is mustahab. I hope you got that. Another example would be with regards to after Hajj. إذا حللتم فاصطادوا. That after you are out of the state of Ihram, then you can hunt. I mean, technically the word states, then go and hunt. So now every Haji, after he comes out from the state of Ihram, is it an obligation upon him to go and hunt animals? The answer is no. The answer would be that it would be permissible, because before he entered the state of Ihram, it was permissible for him to hunt. And now, after that prohibition has been lifted, it returns back to it's being permissible for him to hunt, insha'Allah. Jayid. While you're in the state of Ihram, you can't be doing any hunting. But before and after, no problem, insha'Allah. So, ala kulli hal, the mas'ala here is that if we have an order which comes after a prohibition, some ulama said this means that the item discussed here, it means that it is permissible. Others said no, rather it returns to what it was before the prohibition. And for example, there we have Kamal ibn Humam, the great Hanafi scholar, and some of the Hanbali scholars were of that opinion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. بغيره, we've already covered there that sometimes the order, because of external evidences, could mean something which is mustahab, something which is permissible. Pray before Salatul Maghrib if you want. So the wording "if you want" indicates to us that pray before the fard of Salatul Maghrib is something which is recommended. But it is not an order, it's not an obligation. Walhamdulillah. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, those are matters pertaining to the Amr. We now move on bi'ithnillahi ta'ala to its opposite, An-Nahi. With regards to the Nahi, that which is prohibited, that which is proscribed, So the Amr is prescribed and the Nahi is proscribed. Jayid, you are forbidden from doing this. So ala kulli hal, if we find a text of the Quran and the Sunnah and we find a prohibition there, does this prohibition mean that this is totally haram upon us? Can this prohibition or the order for us to stay away from something, could it maybe be a dua? Could it maybe be a recommendation? Could it maybe be a threat, etc.? Let us discuss bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. An-Nahi. Nahi طلب الترك. You are ordered, you are requested to stay away from something. ما يدل عليه, some of the indicators, some of the wordings, the phrases, لا تفعل, do not do. لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى, do not come for salah, don't come close to salah when you are in a state of intoxication. جيد. لا تقربوا, that the لا تفعل, لا تفعل, excellent, the prohibition. لا تقربوا الزنا, do not come close to zina. Surah Isra, verse number 32. So the first one, لا تفعل, do not do. Next one, قول الصحابي, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibited us from doing X, Y, and Z. Or we were prohibited from doing X, Y, and Z. That's another indicator. Another one that the author does not mention, نفي الحل, that the halalness of something is removed. The halalness of something is like excluded. It is removed. Allah states, فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِن بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ, that the woman who's been divorced a third time, then she's no longer halal upon that husband. She's no longer halal. So this nafyu al-hil, that the halalness is being negated. Negation of the halal. Excellent. Which equals prohibition. prohibition, Surah Baqarah, verse number 230. Then maybe sometimes we have the actual word, the actual text, nahi, right? وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. And Allah has prohibited وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that evil and lewdness and munkar, all of this here is prohibited. Or we have the actual wording of tahreem, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, that your mothers and your daughters, they are haram upon you. Means what? What's haram upon you? Sitting with them, talking to them. Obviously, the matter of marriage, the matter of intimacy is haram upon you. Jayid. And maybe another indicator, la'an, that the curse of Allah is upon such and such an act or such and such a person. Like the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, لعن الله اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد, that cursed be upon the Jews and the Christians who took the graves of the Anbiya as places of worship. So indicating to us that this is something which is prohibited. This type of action is something which is prohibited. Walhamdulillah. So those are some indicators. Jameel. Now, let us move on, inshallah. What's the implication of these texts which show us a prohibition? What's the implication, Jayid? What's the implication of the prohibition? Is it totally haram? Is it maybe recommended to avoid, etc.? Let's see. By itself, its dalala, its implication by itself, the at-tahreem. The default ruling is that a prohibition is regarded as haram until proven otherwise, Jayid. And that's the opinion of majority of the scholars, that is the asl, that it is haram until proven otherwise. It could be that a prohibition could mean something which is makruh. It could mean a dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أُخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, do not hold us accountable if we forgot, if we made a mistake, etc. Is this like we are prohibiting it upon Allah to hold us accountable? We're making dua to Allah, Jayid. A prohibition could be some guidance. It could be reprimanding. But the default rule is that a prohibition is regarded as haram until proven otherwise. Excellent. The next one. Al-fasad. Prohibition equals fasad. It equates to something being invalid. Invalid, Jayid. And this mas'ala has a lot of discussion, Jayid. A lot of discussion here. We can summarize, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, some matters. And there's ikhtilaf in this matter, Jayid. If there is evidence, if there's external evidence, etc., to indicate that this prohibition equates invalid, equates fasad, then it would equal fasad. Example, that the woman in the state of menses, she performing salah, that this salah is completely invalid, it is batil, it is rejected. Somebody on the day of Eid, they are fasting, that this fast here, number one, it's prohibited. Number two, what's the ruling with regards to this fast? Would it be regarded as, well, maybe I'm sinful, but the fast is valid? No, this fast is regarded as fasted, it is batil, it is rejected, it is completely invalid. So if there's evidence to indicate this, then we go with that evidence. Jayid. If the prohibition is an external matter, Jayid, then the prohibition would indicate sin in this matter. The act would be sin, but it would not be invalid. It would not be rejected. Example, somebody performs salah and they are wearing silk. So this brother, he's wearing a thawb and it is made out of silk. And the guy is not supposed to be wearing silk, Jayid. So here many ulama would say that his salah is valid, but he is sinful for the wearing of that silk. He's wearing gold bangles. His salah is valid, but wearing the gold bangles, he is sinful for that. He made wudu with stolen water. His salah is valid, his wudu is valid, but he is sinful for using and stealing that water, Jayid. So they made a separation between those two matters there. And then the third one would be that if there's no external evidence to show either it's fasid or it's not fasid, etc., then the default would be that it is rejected and it is fasid. And this mas'ala here, هَلْ أَنَّهِ يَقْتَضِي الْفَسَادِ, is a long mas'ala, long debate. Does the prohibition equate to rejection? Does the prohibition equate invalid? Long mas'ala. For example, the mas'ala of somebody, he divorced his wife 3 times. I divorce you, he said to her. Or he said to her, I divorce you 3 times. This is something which is prohibited. You're not supposed to do that. But now that you've done it, will those 3 divorces be counted or not? Majority of the ulama, they counted. They say you were sinful for doing that, but those divorces come into effect. And this mas'ala, as we said, is a long mas'ala. Hayyakallah. The next one, that what's the implication of a prohibition? It also implies for that immediate compliance. Jade, Allah states that you are not allowed to commit zina. You're not allowed to lie. You're supposed to have immediate compliance with regards to this matter. The next one, at-tikrar, single compliance or repeat compliance. With regards to the nahi, then the scholars are in agreement that repeated compliance is what is required. Zina on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday is all haram. Zina in the morning, evening and night, all haram at all times. Speaking a lie morning, evening, night, it's all haram. Jayid. And the last one, al-amr bididdihi, somebody says to you that do not sit, which means you are ordered to stand. You're ordered to do something else, the opposite of the sitting. Excellent. بِغَيْرِهِ, this is what we would call مُؤَوَّل. Remember مُؤَوَّل, we have the ظَاهِر and we have the مُؤَوَّل. The ظَاهِر is the manifest. The ظَاهِر is the dominant. With regards to a prohibition, then the dominant meaning would be that it is haram. But sometimes we go with the non-dominant meaning, the مُؤَوَّل. For example, the author states بِحَسَبْ الدَّلِيلِ, based upon the evidence. Maybe it can mean dua, maybe it can mean recommendation, maybe it can mean guidance, maybe it can mean reprimanding you, etc., etc. Maybe it can mean makruh and not haram based upon its evidence. Excellent. So we've covered these matters, walhamdulillah. Before we end off the amr and the nahi, there's a mas'ala that the ulama state. They say that jins fi'l al-ma'mur bihi a'azam min jins tark al-manhiyin anhu. That the category of actions where you are ordered to do something, they are more important than the category of those things that you are told to stay away from. You are ordered to make salah and you are ordered to stay away from zina. Which one's more important? Performance of the salah. Doing that which you've been ordered to do is more important. Doing what you've been ordered to do is more important than staying away from that which you have been prohibited from doing. And they give the example. They say that, look at Adam alayhi salam and Iblis. That Adam alayhi salam was ordered not to eat from the tree. And he eventually ate and he fell into that sin. Whereas Iblis, his sin was worse. How was his sin worse? He was ordered by Allah to make sujood and he refused. So they say that the sin of Iblis was worse than the sin of Adam alayhi salam. Iblis didn't do what Allah ordered him to do. Whereas Adam fell into that which Allah prohibited him from doing. All of them were supposed to comply to the order of Allah. But which one's heavier? Which one's weightier, etc.? Jay, which one's more important? Doing what you've been ordered to do is more important than staying away from that which you've been prohibited from falling into. Jay, another wording with regards to this rule would be jins tark al-ma'mur bihi a'zam min jins fi'il manhiyin an. Leaving the orders of Allah are worse than falling into the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we've covered the Amr, we've covered the Nahi. We now move on to the next matter, and that is Am and Khas, inshallah, the general and the specific. If you feel you are a bit sleepy, if you feel that you are getting a bit lost, pull up your socks, tighten your belt. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we are learning Usul Al-Fiqh. This is not a walk in the park. Put on your thinking caps and let us get cracking bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So, Am and Khas. Am that which is general, that which is all-encompassing, that which is Shumul, Shamil, all-encompassing. The Imama, The Imam, he has an imama around his head. It's going all around. Gives you an indication of the meaning of am, that which is all encompassing, includes everything. It goes all around. Your am, am is your uncle, because the uncle is around you to protect you, to help you, to assist you. The imama is all around your head. Walhamdulillah. Allah mentions, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah does not oppress anyone. Whether you are tall, whether you are small, whether you are big, whether you are white, whether you are yellow, whether you are educated, whether you are illiterate, Allah does not oppress anyone whatsoever. All encompassing, Jameel. And so this applies to all, applies to many. We have certain terms, even in English, and these are general terms. So somebody says, for example, insan, human beings. This is a general term. Somebody mentions that men this way, men includes many within this category, Jayid. Somebody says people, this is a general term. Walhamdulillah. Somebody is told, give $1 to everyone in the classroom. Every single person, he should go to them and give them $1. Walhamdulillah. Jameel. So that is am. We are talking about the classification of terms in terms of what's included and what is excluded. What's included, what is excluded. So we have am, and then we have khas. Akrim ar-rajul. Honor the man. Honor the man. This man here, honor the man. I didn't say honor the man. We said honor the man. Excellent. Give Zayd a book. Not Ahmed, not Salman, not Ilyas. Give Zayd a book. Give all of the students a chocolate, but give Sulaiman a car. There's something khas for Sulaiman. Sulaiman, he gets a car. Walhamdulillah. Excellent. Give every student a book and give the tallest one a cup. So the tallest one, something special about him, he will not get a book, but rather he will get a cup. There's something khas about him. Excellent. Walhamdulillah. So we will be discussing the am and the khas, the general and the specific. Do we apply the general and leave it general? Or is there something excluded? Are there some sort of specification, restriction, etc. upon matters? We will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The author states, al-am, al-am wal-khas, al-am wal-khas. So am here, it's sigha, the terms and the phrases which indicate generality. Let's see. So the indicators, kullu, all, and jami', which also means all, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every nafs, every soul will taste death. Every single one, nothing excluded. All souls will taste death. Jayid, Surah Ali Imran. Or for example, the sentence, jami' ulama al-balad hadirun. That all of the scholars of the city, of the country, they are present. All, jami' ulama al-balad hadirun. These are the terms which indicate generality. Jameel. Another term would be the al-mu'arraf bi al-ghayr al-ahdiyya. Innal insana. Innal insana. Al-insan. Innal insana lafi khusr. That all insan, every one of insan, they are in a state of loss. Surah Asr. Then number three, al-mudaf ila ma'rifa. Al-mudaf ila ma'rifa. Example, Ja'a ikhwatu aliyin. The brothers of Ali came. All the brothers of Ali came. Every brother of Ali came. Jayid. Malu Zaydin. The wealth of Zayd. All the wealth of Zayd. Whatever wealth Zayd has, we are talking about that. Malu Zaydin. Malu Zaydin. Number four, nakira fi siyaq al-nafi wa nahi wa shart. Example, ma ja'ani rajulun, no man has come to me. Ma ja'ani rajulun. Has anyone come? Has Salman come? Salman didn't come. Did Ilyas come? Ilyas didn't come. Did Fatima come? Fatima didn't come. Did Umar come? Umar didn't come. Then I say to the brother, ma ja'ani rajulun. ما جاءني أحد. that nobody has come to me. No man has come to me. جيد. فلا تدعو مع الله أحدا. That do not call upon anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone, whether they are a saint, whether they are a sinner, whether they are an angel, don't call upon anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فلا تدعو مع الله أحدا. جيد. So that's number four. Number five, adawat asma ash-shart. Man yatawakkal ala Allahi fahuwa hasbuh. Whoever depends upon Allah, has reliance upon Allah, then Allah suffices him. Whoever depends upon Allah, Allah suffices him. Man yatawakkal ala Allahi fahuwa hasbuh. Surah At-Talaq. Asma al-mawsula, akrim man yaji'uka. Honor the one who comes to you. Whoever this person might be, أكرم من يجيئك. أكرم, honor the one who comes to you. إن الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى, those who eat up the wealth of the orphan, whoever they might be. جيد. So these are phrases which indicate generality. جيد. But remember, they might indicate generality, but then the sentence, we might apply them, we might not apply them. There might be specification, there might not be specification. That's what we are discussing and learning about. That the mujtahid scholar, when he sees these general terms, does he leave them to be general or does he apply a specification upon them if a specification came? Or what does he do? Apply the general and leave the specification out, or only take the specific and leave out the general? How exactly does he deal with this? That's what we are discussing, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. And there are many, many more phrases and terms which indicate generality, and we will not cover all here. What we've covered suffices bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. The author states, the anwa, the different types of general, Jayid. So we have am, mahfuz, and am makhsus. Am mahfuz, meaning that it is general and it remains general and no restriction has come upon it. It remains unchanged. It is mahfuz. It is safe. It is safe, Jayid. So am mahfuz, and this is the asl. This is the default rule that the general is left and treated as general until proven otherwise. Am mahfuz. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there is not an animal upon the face of this earth or anything upon the face of this earth except that upon Allah is its risk. The risk comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there any exclusion? Any human being on earth, your risk doesn't come from Allah? No, everybody's risk comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this am remains am and it is unchanged. Walhamdulillah. And that is the asl. That is the asl. If we can prove some sort of specification, some sort of takhsis, then we go with that specification. Otherwise, we stick to the general rule, the asl. Walhamdulillah. The next one here is am makhsus. So there's a general, but it has some specification. There's maybe some exclusion, etc., etc., related to it. There may be some sort of restriction upon it. Am makhsus, Jayid. We are talking about now the general that accepts specification. The general that accepts specification. Excellent. One example. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah states with regards to salah, read what is easy for you of the noble Quran. But then we have the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which states that the salah which does not have Suratul Fatiha in it, then this salah here, it is incomplete. So majority of the ulama, they said, well, you have to recite Suratul Fatiha in your salah. You have to recite Suratul Fatiha in your salah. They took the general verse of the Quran, read whatever is easy for you. And they specified that verse with this hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam about Suratul Fatiha. That's how majority of the ulama applied the general verse and this specific hadith. Walhamdulillah. They saw no contradiction. They saw no clash whatsoever. They saw one is general, one is specific, and they applied the specific upon the general. Walhamdulillah. Who differed? We're going to discuss the Hanafi scholars. They had a different understanding with regards to this matter. Jayid. So after discussing the two types of am, the first one which remains general and the second one which accepts specification. The author does not mention, but we can mention here inshallah, the madlul. What's the madlul of this am, etc.? That the asl, the basic default rule, is that we regard the am to be am until we have proof, we have evidence that there is any sort of specification inshallah. Jayid, somebody says that I set free my slaves. All of his slaves will be set free. Somebody says, I make a wasiyah, or I make a waqf or whatever for the children of so and so. The tall children, the small children, the babies, the kids, the teenagers, the adults, all of the children will be covered by that wasiyah inshallah. Jayid, excellent. Take note, majority of the ulama, they state that dalalatul aam ala kulli fard min afradihi dalala dhanniyah. That if we have something which is general, we have a general text, majority of the ulama, they state that the evidence that every part, every piece, every portion of this general, it is included within this general via speculative understanding. We speculate, most probably, that every single one of this general, you know, is included. But maybe, important, but maybe there will be some other evidence which might exclude some. There's a possibility there might be some other evidence which might exclude some and come with some specification. We always are open to that sort of specification. But the Hanafi scholars say no, that when we have something which is general, then this general applies to every piece and every portion and every part of it, and that understanding is a qat'i type of understanding, that we are 100% qat'i that the am includes every single one of them. And there's a fruit to this ikhtilaf. The fruit of this ikhtilaf would be that majority of the ulama, when they have something which is general, they are open to specification. And because they say that our understanding that it is general, this understanding, you know, it's probable and it's most likely and it is zanniyatul dalala. So we can accept a hadith which are ahad to specify this am verse or this am understanding. Whereas the Hanafi scholars, they said that when we look at something which is general, then our understanding that it is general is a qat'i matter. That the am applies to every piece and every part of the general, applies upon it from a level of qat'i. So they will not accept any hadith or any evidence which might be ahad to come along and specify. And that's why you have that difference of opinion with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha in the Salah. Because the Hanafis state, well, this verse of the Noble Quran, it says, read whatever you want to read. Read whatever is easy upon you. And the majority and the Hanafis, they all accept this. But they looked at it from different angles. Majority said, well, this is Zaniyatul Dalala. Zaniyatul Dalala. Its implication is speculative. So we can accept when we find a hadith about Surah Al-Fatiha, and that hadith is an ahad hadith, well, that is also speculative, that is also zanni. So we will use that zanni hadith, and we will apply it to our zanni understanding of this verse, and a zanni specifying the general, no issue. The zanni which is specific is specifying our zanni understanding of this general verse. So a zanni applying upon a zanni is no problem at all. Whereas the Hanafi scholars said, no, we don't understand it like that. When we looked at the verse of the Quran, which says, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, that we understand that this verse applies to everything, anything within it there. And this is قَطْعِيَّةُ الدَّلَالَةِ. قَطْعِيَّةُ الدَّلَالَةِ. That you can read one verse of the Noble Quran in your salah, and your salah should be valid and all is well. This is qat'iyyatul dalala. So we as the Hanafis will not accept a hadith which is now saying you must read Suratul Fatiha, and we regard that hadith as dhanni, and you majority also regard it as a dhanni hadith. So we will not apply that dhanni hadith upon our understanding of this verse, and we regard this verse to be applying generally, which is a qat'i matter. So this dhanni hadith cannot come along and specify this verse and the understanding that this verse is general. This is a qat'i matter. جيد. So that's why the Hanafis did not accept and state that you must recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Another example that Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, مِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, that you need to pay zakah of that which came out from the earth, your crops, etc., etc. Jayid, you need to pay zakah upon that. Majority of the scholars said, okay, we need to apply zakah on this matter. Khair, insha'Allah. And then we have a hadith which talks about the nisab of your cultivation and your crops. So the majority of the scholars said, well, this verse of the Noble Quran, it's there, alhamdulillah. But then we have this hadith which talks about a nisab. So there's a quantum. Anything below that nisab, zakah will not apply upon that. And that which is above the nisab, zakah will apply upon it. And they saw this to be a simple mas'ala. They said, well, the verse of the Noble Quran, our understanding that this is a general matter, this is a zanni understanding. Because maybe there might be specification. And generally, we find in the Noble Quran, so many of the general verses, they do have specification. And so we will always keep our minds open to some sort of specification coming along. And here the hadith does talk about a nisab. And so the specification did come along. And now a nisab has been set for the cult, for the crops, etc. when it comes to the matter of zakah. Hanafi scholars said, no, hold on. We don't accept your understanding of this matter. When we look at this verse of the Noble Quran, we take this verse to be that it applies upon all of the crops and stuff like this here, that it is am and it is general, and that understanding of it being general, underline, the understanding of it being general and it applying generally, this is a qat'i matter. This is a certainty matter. Jay, this is a qat'i matter. So we will not accept, as the Hanafis, we will not accept a hadith which is now coming and specifying a nisab and a quantum and some of it that there won't be zakah upon it. We won't accept that. Because here we have a qat'i matter related to this zakah applying generally to all the crops. And this ahad hadith, which is speculative in its nature and in its strength, it's coming along and saying, well, you know, some of it is not, there's no zakah upon a certain amount. We will not do that. We will not allow that. And so because of this mas'ala here, you find a lot of differences in fiqh between the Hanafi scholars and the majority of the ulama. Because of this mas'ala, because the majority of the ulama state, دلالة العام على كل فرد من أفراده دلالة ظنية. That the implication of the general upon every portion of the general, this is a speculative matter. Whereas the Hanafi scholars said, no, rather this is a qat'i matter, a definitive matter. So they will only accept definitive evidence to come and specify. Majority of the ulama said it's a speculative matter, so they will allow a hadith which are ahad to come and specify because zanni and zanni, whereas the Hanafi scholars said, no, we will only allow mutawatir evidence to come and specify this general matter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That mas'ala is a very important mas'ala. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatallah. We now move on, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatallah, to the matters pertaining to makhsus or khas. We covered am. Now we move on to khas, that which is specific, specification, insha'Allah. Jayid. Somebody says, Akrim ar-rajul, serve the man, honor the man. Go to Ahmed, not Salman, not Ilyas, not all the men. Go to Ahmed. Excellent. Take note that when it comes to takhsis and specification, this is like a ta'wil. This is like an interpretation, like a ta'wil of the am, like a ta'wil of the general. And it indicates that some of that which was included in the general is not intended. Important that specification indicates that some of which was mentioned in the general is not intended. Jayid, is not intended. And that's why we will discuss that some forms of takhsis, the Hanafi scholars have rejected. And they said, in reality, what you are doing abrogation. When you have the general and you specified and you removed some, what you've done in reality is you've abrogated that those 10 that were excluded, you've abrogated them in reality. We'll talk about that bi-iznillahi ta'ala. So with regards to takhsis, with regards to makhsus, then it could be by a munfasil, by an external evidence, jayid. And this external evidence could be the his, could be the aql, that it's just known that it is not general. Example, وَأُوتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, with regards to Saba, with regards to Sheba of Yemen. وَأُوتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, she was given everything. She was given everything. Now, was she given the kingdom of Suleiman alayhi salam? Did she have authority over Suleiman, etc.? No. So it's understood by the aql, jayid, by the rationale, that that is not included, that it's excluded. So the aql could be one of the indicators that something is excluded. The aql is the proof that something is excluded. Jayid. Another example, Wallahu khaliqu kulli shay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all things. So did Allah create himself? A'udhu billah, jayid. So that day is understood by the aql that that is excluded. Another munfasil would be by ijma', by consensus. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha nudiya lis-salati min yawmil jumu'ati fas'u ila dhikrillah. That when the adhan for jumu'ah is given, then leave all matters and you go for jumu'ah. So is the kid included? Is the woman included? No, they are excluded. How? Where's the evidence? By ijma, by consensus, they are excluded. The next one, the author states, An-Nas al-Khas, that there's a specific evidence of the Quran or the Sunnah, which proves that there's some specification here. Let's see. Kitab bi kitab, the book of Allah by the book of Allah. Allah mentions, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ, that the woman who's been divorced, then she is in a state of iddah for three quru. So every woman who's been divorced, she goes through this waiting period of three quru. But we have a verse where Allah states, وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلَهُنَّ أَن يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. The women who are pregnant, then their waiting period is until they deliver. So the general rule is that the woman would go through three quru, except if she is pregnant, then her iddah will be until she delivers. Could be three quru, could be 3 months, could be 4 months, could be 5 months, could be 1 month, until she delivers. So here, the specification of the first general verse by the specific verse dealing with the woman who is pregnant. So the specification occurred upon the book of Allah by a verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excellent. Another one would be, that we are not allowed to marry the mushrikat. We are not allowed to marry women who are mushrikat. But in the Quran, we find permission for us to get married to the woman of the Ahlul Kitab. So there's general, don't get married to the mushrikat. Then there is permission that you're allowed to marry the Ahlul Kitab woman. So there is khas, there is takhsis with regards to them. General and the specific, we give preference to the specific over the general in this matter. Excellent. The next one, Kitab bi Sunnah, that the book of Allah is specified due to a hadith in the Sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's see. As-sariqu was-sariqatu faqta'u aydiyahuma, that the male and female thieves cut off their hands. Jayid, Surah Ma'idah. But then we find a hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la tuqta al-yad illa fi rub dinar, that the hand is not cut off except if a quarter of a dinar was stolen or more. Jayid. So this indicates that the thief, even though we called him a thief, that they stole something which was less than a quarter of a dinar, then their hand will not be cut off. The verse of the Quran is general. The male and female thieves cut off their hands. Even if they stole a cent, it should be cut off. That's general. But the hadith specifies and mentions like a quantum, like a nisab. If you steal more than this amount, then the penalty applies. And if you steal less than that amount, the penalty will not apply. So this is found where? This is found in the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we say that this hadith is specific and it applies itself upon this general verse of the noble Quran. Excellent. Another example, that Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she came for her inheritance. She came to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an for her inheritance. Her father, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has passed away. The general verses of inheritance should apply. But they said to her, no, your father, he said that the Anbiya, they are not inherited from. Rather, what they leave behind is knowledge. That is the inheritance of the Anbiya. So those ahadith specified those general verses which show that inheritance should apply. Excellent. Another example that the general verses of inheritance in the Noble Quran, and then we find the hadith that the killer will not inherit from the person that he killed. Jahid. So now we have the general verses of inheritance, and then we have the hadith that the killer will not inherit. So we give preference to that hadith there because it is specific. It's dealing with a specific scenario, whereas the inheritance verses are dealing with the general matters of inheritance. Excellent. Now remember, majority of the ulama don't go into, well, now this hadith here, is it a ahad hadith? Is it a solitary type of hadith? Or is it a mutawatir type of hadith? And then we want to discuss. The majority of the ulama don't look into all of that. They just look that this verse is general about inheritance, and this hadith is specific about the killer, and so we will give preference to this hadith in application of this type of scenario. But the Hanafi scholars, remember, they want to now talk about, well, this hadith here, is it ahad or is it mutawatir? If it's ahad, we will not allow it to specify the verse of the Noble Quran, etc. We will not allow it to specify the general implication of this verse. Excellent. Then we find sunnah bi sunnah. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ahadith about men are not allowed to wear silk, but then there's other ahadith that small amounts would be allowed. Jayid. We also find that don't fast while you are on travel, and then we find ahadith that if you can manage, then it would be allowed. Jayid, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did while he was on travel. So how do we understand? Generally, you know, we find the general ahadith that don't fast while you are on travel, but the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. So we understand that if you're able, if you can, if it's not detrimental to yourself, etc., it's not too difficult, then it would be permissible bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So the sunnah making takhsis of the sunnah. And the last one, the sunnah is made takhsis of by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith which is general, مَا أُبِينَ مِنْ حَيِّنْ فَهُوَ مَيِّتٍ, that which comes off from the living, then it will be treated as though it is something dead. Jahid. So that would mean that the wool that you cut off from the sheep, you're going to treat it like dead meat. You're going to treat it like carrion. But then we find in the Noble Quran the verse, وَمِنْ أَصْوَافِهَا وَأَوْبَارِهَا وَأَشْعَارِهَا أَثَاثًا وَمَتَاعًا إِلَى حِينٍ, that the wool, etc., you can make use of it. You can make use of it. So here we found a general hadith, and then we found a specific verse, and so we applied the specific over the general. Walhamdulillah. Then there's also by mafhum, specification via mafhum, specification via the statement of the sahabi, specification via qiyas, and the Hanafis reject that. They don't allow that. Jayid. Excellent. Before we move on to the takhsis by the muttasil, that which is joined, not external, but rather it is parallel. Before that, we just want to repeat what we've already discussed. We said that the Hanafi scholars take note, dalalatul aam ala kulli afradihi dalala qat'iyya, that the implication upon the general, that it remains general, etc., this implication, this is a definitive type of understanding and implication. And so, any type of evidence that's going to come along and wants to specify this, that evidence must be qat'i, it must be definitive. Whereas majority of the scholars, they said, dalalatul aam ala kulli afradihi dalala zanniyya, that the implication when it comes to the general, that it applies upon all within it, this is an implication which is zanni, which is speculative. And so ahadith and speculative evidences can come along and specify it. Walhamdulillah. We move on to the matter of the muttasil, jayid, or it's called istithna, exclusion. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ, that the verse of the Noble Quran is an example, Surah Ma'arij, verse number 29. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, that those who protect their chastity, their privates, etc. إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ, except when it comes to their spouses. And so when it comes to the spouse, all is halal, etc. So that is excluded. That is excluded. This takhsis that, you know, all is allowed between husband and wife when it comes to intimacy. And we are talking besides them, you need to obviously protect. وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدْ. Surah An-Nisa, verse number 12. That for you is half of what your wife or your wives have left. إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدْ, if they didn't have any children. If they didn't have any children. So that's a specification there. You will get half. You will get half when? If they didn't have any children. But if they had children, then you will not get half of your wife's estate. Excellent. So that is what we call istithna. Or some might even term it shart, condition. Try it. Ala kulli hal. Also another rule, that al-ibra bi'umum al-lafz la bi-khusus al-sabab, that the ruling is based upon the general statement of the sharia and not in accordance with a specific incident. I repeat, there might have been a specific incident, and that's why this verse or this hadith might have been revealed or mentioned. But we don't say, well, it only applies upon that specific scenario. No, the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, they should apply upon their generality and not in accordance to a specific incident for that which it was revealed. Jayid. Then the other rule or issue would be that what if we have the clash of the umumain, ta'arud al-umumain, that we have two generals clashing. We have a general text and another general text, and they are clashing with one another. Which one do we give preference to, Jade? What do we do? We have a general hadith that when you enter the masjid, pray two rakahs of salah. We have another general hadith that between fajr, after salatul fajr until sunrise, after asr until sunset, don't pray any salah. Both of them are technically general. Both of them are technically general. So which one do we give preference to? So here we find that many ulama state that al-aam al-mahfuz, al-aam al-mahfuz, the aam which didn't have any specification, it's mahfuz. The aam which doesn't have any specification, it is still, mashallah, strong on its generality. It will be given preference to the aam which had some sort of takhsis apply upon it. The aam which is unchanged is given preference over the aam which is changed due to specification applying upon it. Jayid. So in this mas'ala here, we would find that many ulama stating, if you enter the masjid after Salatul Fajr, or you enter the masjid after Salatul Asr, then you are allowed to pray two rakahs of salah. You are allowed to pray two rakahs of salah. They say because the generality of the texts related to praying the two rakahs of salah, they remain general and they are unchanged. Whereas the evidences and the ahadith which state no prayer between Salatul Asr and sunset and after Salatul Fajr until sunrise, we do find that there were some allowances and there were some specifications, like the man who came late for salah and so he hasn't yet prayed his Fajr salah, and somebody else already prayed the Fajr salah. Prophet ﷺ told the one who already prayed, pray with your brother, join him, it will be nafil salah for you. So here he's praying, but there's like a reason there. He's praying and he's joining his brother. So there's some specification that occurred there. Like another one, Prophet ﷺ saw those people praying at the back of, sitting at the back of the masjid. He says, are you people not Muslims? Why are you not joining us in the Fajr Salah? They said, no, we already prayed on our journey, etc. We already prayed the Fajr Salah. No, if you come to a masjid and you see the jama'ah going on, then you join them and it will be like a nafil for you. So here it's after Fajr Salah. And so that prohibition we saw, there's a takhsis. If people might think you're not Muslim and you come to a masjid and they're praying in jama'ah, then join them. So we state that the aam, the general which is still protected and it doesn't have any takhsis applied to it, it is given preference over the general which was weakened due to takhsis being applied upon it. Walhamdulillah. Excellent. Another mas'ala, and that is subhanallah. The Hanafis, they state that if the khas, the specification. It came later than the am. First we had the general, then later on we had the specification. And then the Hanafi state that this in reality, it is not an example of takhsis. This is an example of nasr. This is an example of abrogation, Jayid. They say that takhsis can only occur, specification can only occur if they are like parallel. If the verse and the evidences were around the same like timeline. But if one was revealed in 1 year and then the specification came 2 years later, that's not specification, rather that's abrogation according to the Hanafi scholars, Jayid. But as majority of the ulama, they said, no, this is what we term as bayan, elaboration. This is a general verse. 2 years later, a specific verse came down and it specifies the first one. We call this bayan. That was the wazifa of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was his job. He came down to explain the noble Quran and to make bayan of matters. Jayid. Hayyakumullah. And so with that, we've covered matters pertaining to am and khas, walhamdulillah. We move on, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, to our last mas'ala of this majlis, insha'Allah. Mutlaq and muqayyid. Mutlaq, that which is absolute. Muqayyid, that which is qualified. It is restricted. There's qualification upon it. A believing slave. Believing slave, there's restriction, there's qualification upon it. A blue book, a yellow, orange book, there's qualification and restriction upon that. Let's see. So mutlaq, an example of mutlaq would be raqaba, a slave. A slave, it is absolute, a slave, free, a slave, male, female, strong, weak, a slave, free, a slave, bring me a book, a man. Look, find any man and call him along here to eat with us. Any man, Jayid. A wasiyya. So this is absolute, absolute. Then we find muqayyad, that which is restricted, that which is qualified. Allah mentions in the noble Quran, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ. Set free a believing slave. A believing slave. So there's the restriction with regards to iman. There's the qualification that the slave must be a believer, must be one who possesses iman. Some might say that this is a type of bayan. This is a type of elaboration, a type of bayan. We find that some ulama also regard this whole mutlaq and muqayyid under the category of general and specific. Ala kulli hal. We find that somebody mentioning a wise man. Find a wise man. Find a tall man. Bring me the yellow book. So there's specification and there is restriction here with regards to description. Jameel. The asal, the default rule is that the mutlaq, it remains absolute until we can prove any sort of restriction upon it. Just like general, general remains general until we can prove specification. The absolute or the mutlaq, it remains mutlaq and absolute until we can prove any taqeed or any restriction. The author mentions that there are four scenarios, insha'Allah, Jayid. حمل المطلق على المقيد. When do we restrict the absolute in light of the restriction? When do we restrict and qualify the absolute? When do we do that? So there are four scenarios, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We are talking about restricting the absolute, applying the restriction upon the absolute. Basically, narrowing down the absolute. Defining the absolute, that's a good one. Defining the absolute in light of the restrictions. Defining the absolute in light of the restrictions. The first scenario, موافق للمطلق في الحكم والسبب يقيد. This is when إذا اتحد في الحكم والسبب, that we find the absolute and we find the restricted verse. There's an absolute evidence and there's a restricted evidence. There's an absolute evidence and a restricted evidence, and both of them agree in its hukum and also in their reason, in their sabab. Both of them agree in the hukam and they also agree in the sabab. So in this scenario here, we do restrict the absolute in light of the restricted one. Right? Let's see. We find in the noble Quran, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالْدَّمِ, that which has been prohibited upon you is carrion and blood. Carrion and blood. Right? Surah Baqarah 173. إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالْدَّمِ. that carrion and blood, they have been made haram upon you. Excellent. This is general. This is general or absolute, rather, absolute. Then there's another verse which has some restriction and qualification upon it. Let's see. إلا أن يكون ميتة أو دما مسفوحة. إلا أن يكون ميتة أو دما مسفوحة. Except if it is carrion, you can't eat. If it is carrion or if it is flowing blood. Now there's the issue of flowing. Flowing blood. جيد. So this verse has some restriction and it mentions the matter of flowing blood. So our previous verse which only spoke about blood, do we leave it to be absolute or do we define it in light of this flowing blood restriction? The answer is the ulama in agreement that we do define the absolute in light of the restriction. Why? Because both these verses, they're dealing with it being haram. Both of them are dealing with the matter of haram. So they are in agreement with regards to the hukam. And they're also in agreement with regards to the sabab. So that's the first category. The second category that mukhalaf. للمطلق في الحكم والسبب. Complete opposite. Complete total opposite. They do not agree in the hukam, nor do they agree in terms of the reason. جيد. What happens here? We do not restrict the absolute in light of the qualified or in light of the restriction. جيد. So an example for this would be السارق والسارقة فاقطعوا أيديهما, that the male and the female thieves cut off their hands. جيد. So what's the ruling here? What's the hukam? Cutting. The hukam is you cut. What's the reason? The reason is because of sariqa, because they had stolen. جيد. Because they had stolen. So because they stolen, that's the sabab. What's the hukum? We cut off the hand. That's a verse. And it is absolute. The male and female thieves cut off their hands. Excellent. Another verse, not dealing with anything to do with theft. Rather, it is dealing to do with washing and purifying yourself. إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. That when you stand up for salah, when you are getting ready for salah, when you're purifying yourself, etc., wash your hand up to the elbow. So do we say now, well, the previous verse said cut off the hand of the thief. This verse related to wudu and ghusl says you should wash up to and including your elbow. So, O thief, we have specification in the purification verse. We have restriction in the purification verse. We're going to apply that restriction when it comes to cutting off your hand. Are we going to cut your hand from the elbow? No, we don't do that. Why don't we do that? Because, subhanAllah, the hukam differs in both of these matters. One is to do with cut the hand. One is to do with wash the hand. Totally different. One's reason is stealing and the other one's reason is tahara and purification. So they differ in their hukam. One is cut, one is wash. They differ in their reasoning behind it. One is to do with stealing and one is to do with purification. And so we don't apply the restriction upon the absolute under this circumstance. Jameel. We move on to number 3. موافق للمطلق في الحكم لا السبب. That they are in agreement when it comes to the hukam, but they differ with regards to the reasoning behind it. The sabab, the reason behind it, they differ. جيد. Another wording would be إذا اتحد في الحكم لا السبب. If they agree on the hukam, but not on the sabab. According to majority of the ulama, we will apply the restriction. An example would be that the mutlaq verse, the absolute verse, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَ, set free a slave. Surah Mujadala, verse number 3. And there's a restricted verse, and that one is فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَ, set free a believing slave. Two different verses, two different places in the Noble Quran, but the hukum is the same for both of them, set free a slave. One says, set free a slave. The other one sets set free a believing slave. But the point is, there is setting free of a slave. Setting free of the slave, that is the hukum for both of them. Excellent. What's the reasoning behind both of them? What's the sabab? The sabab differs. For the first one, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَ, set free a slave. This is to do with zihar. Somebody says to his wife that you are to me like the back of my mother. So there's a kafara. So that's to do with the kafara of zihar. And the second one is to do with the kafara that you accidentally killed somebody. So the reasoning behind both of them are different. But the hukum is the same. Set free a slave, set free a slave. But the reason is, one is zihar and one is the kafara for killing somebody accidentally. So here, do we apply the restriction upon the absolute? Majority of the ulama say yes. Majority of the ulama say yes. And so for zihar, and also if you kill somebody accidentally, when it comes to the kafara, you have to set free a believing slave. Not any slave, but a believing slave. Jayid. So they applied the restriction here. Why? Because the hukum was the same, which is setting free of slaves, and you should set free a believing slave. Jamil. Number four, وافق للمطلق في السبب دون الحكم, that they are in agreement when it comes to the reason, but not in the hukum, not in the ruling. Another wording would be إذا اتحد في السبب لا الحكم. Here, majority of the ulama say we don't apply the restriction upon the absolute, unlike Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, the Shafi'i scholars. An example would be that which is mutlaq, absolute. فَمْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ مِنْ, that you wipe your face and you wipe your hands from it. Jayid, Surah An-Nisa, dealing with tayammum. Well, how to make tayammum. So you wipe your face and you wipe your hands. And then the restricted verse, أَيْدِيَكُمْ مِنَ الْمَرَافِقِ, when you are washing, making wudu, you wash up to your elbows. So the verse of wudu says you wash your hand up to the elbows. And the verse of tayammum says you wipe your hand. So the restriction, the qualification found in the wudu verse, do we apply it when it comes to the tayammum verse? That's the question. So they are in agreement when it comes to the sabab. The sabab for both of them, tayammum and wudu, both of them is purification. Tahara, tahara. Tahara and tahara. Excellent. Lifting of your hadath. You want to remove the state of impurity from yourself. So purification. Excellent. But they differ in the hukum. The hukum of the first one is masah, that you are wiping, you are making tayammum. This is wiping type of purification. And the wudu one, this is water type of purification. This is ghusl. So the hukum differs here. In this one here, Imam al-Shafi'i says that we apply the restriction. And when you are making tayammum, you must make tayammum right up to and including your elbows. But the other scholar said, no, we don't apply the restriction. And so you wipe your hand and that would suffice. You wipe your hand, that suffices. You don't need to wipe up to and including your elbows. حياكم الله يا مشايخ. With that, we've covered the matters pertaining to Amr and Nahi, the order and the prohibition. We covered Am and Khas, general and specific. We covered Mutlaq and Muqayyid, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, from the text Ta'heel al-Fiqhi, which is much more comprehensive than Imam al-Juwayni's Al-Waraqat. Now, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, let us open up Al-Waraqat and read through and familiarize ourselves with what Imam Al-Juwayni has stated, rahimahullah. So Imam Al-Juwayni states, number 3, the third section, commands. Al-Awamir wa-Nawahi. A command is using an utterance to demand an action from someone who is inferior in a way that conveys obligation. When a command is directed to an equal, it is a request. It's called iltimas. When you say to your friend, give me the book, that's a iltimas. That's a request. When directed to a superior, then it's a plea. You are requesting from Allah. You are pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are requesting from your boss or your parent, you are pleading to them. That's not an order. Jayid, it's a su'al. When the imperative is not phrased in a way that conveys obligation, in that it is permissible to omit it, the most apparent opinion is that it is not an imperative in the literal sense. The verbal form for conveying commands is if'al, if'al. Translated, the verbal imperative, jayid. Example, idrib, hit, akrim, honor, serve, ishrab, drink, drink, jayid. And so the author states, when a command is categorical and free of contextual circumstances that obviate it from being a demand for the action, it is interpreted to convey obligation. Example, establish the prayer in the Noble Quran. Unless there is evidence indicating that which is intended is its recommendedness or its permissibility. As we mentioned, default rule is that the amr means obligation until proven otherwise. If there is such evidence, that is how it is interpreted. That is, as commended or permissible. An example of it being recommended, an order, but the meaning is that it is recommended. The verse in the Noble Quran, conclude a contract with them to set them free if you know that they are good. With regards to your slaves, set up a contract with them that eventually they will get their freedom. This is not an order upon us, but it's recommended. Another example would be that when you leave the state of ihram, then go and hunt. Meaning it's permissible for you to now hunt. Right? Not that every haji needs to now go and hunt. Since there is consensus, it is not obligatory to agree to set free a slave or to hunt. The author continues, a command does not entail repetition, according to the sound opinion. Because the objective that what has been commanded to occur, it occurs through a single time. And the default is that one is not responsible for anything exceeding the single time. Unless there is evidence indicating that repetition is intended. Right? Like for example, we need to pray the five daily salawat every single day. The opposite to the sound opinion is that commands entail repetition. That's another opinion. So the person is ordered to spend all the possible time performing the required action, etc. Commands do not entail immediacy. It's not, as we mentioned, according to the Shafi'i scholars, that a command, la ala al-fawr, it's not upon an immediate, it's not required that you must do it immediately, Jaid. It doesn't require immediate compliance. Whereas most of the other ulama say, no, it requires immediate compliance. Father says, get the shoe, it means get the shoe now, you don't need to ask him when. Since the goal is the action's existence, without it being specific to the first time and not the next. There is an opinion that it does entail immediate compliance. Those who hold that it entails repetition says that it entails immediate compliance. The author continues, the command to bring out the existence of the action is a command to perform it and everything which is required in order for it to be carried out. Example, if we are commanded to perform the salah, it is also intended that this is a command that you must perform purification because purification is needed to ensure the command of the salah being fulfilled. The author continues, if the command is performed, the person ordered is then cleared of the injunction that it is counted from him, ijza, the matter of ijza. And then he states, believers enter within the scope of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The subject of disbelievers will still come. Meaning that when there's an order in the sharia or there's a prohibition in the sharia, who's being spoken to? Is it only the believers or everyone? When Allah says don't commit zina and don't steal and don't do corruption, is it only the believers who have to abide by this or is everyone bound to abide by this? Right? So that's the mas'ala. He says it will come very soon. Those who are forgetful or they are minors or they are insane, etc., they do not enter into those who were addressed since legal responsibility has been lifted from them. Once someone ceases to be forgetful, for example, then he is ordered to rectify that which was missed during his forgetfulness, like making up the missed prayers, etc., and reimbursing for damaged goods, damaged property. As for non-believers, they are intended recipients of the particulars of the sacred law and of that which is required for its valid performance. Meaning that when Allah says in the Quran, don't commit zina and don't steal, the disbelievers, even though they haven't accepted Islam, they are also bound to abide by that. Proof, Allah mentions, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. These people in the hellfire, that they will be asked, why are you here in this hellfire? They will say, because we didn't perform salah. They were not Muslims, but they say, because we didn't perform salah. This indicates that they were also ordered to perform salah. But the salah wouldn't be accepted from them until they come with the key of al-Islam. Try it. The author continues, the command to perform something specific is a prohibition from performing its opposite. The prohibition of performing something specific is a command to perform its opposite. So, if somebody is told remain still, it is a prohibition from moving. And if he is told don't move, it is a command to remain motionless. Jayid. Then the author moves on to the prohibitions, the nawahi. A prohibition is using an utterance to invite a request, an action from an inferior in a way that conveys obligation. It follows what preceded concerning the definition of commands. Jayid. The author also states that A verbal phrase for commands may be mentioned, while what is intended by the imperative is mere permissibility. Right? That maybe the phrase might be mentioned, but what is intended is permissibility, or maybe it's a threat, or maybe it is equality between two things, or spontaneous formation, that not the prohibition is what is intended, but rather maybe to reprimand, maybe makruh, etc. That is what is intended, as we discussed. وَتَرِدْ صِيغَةُ الْأَمْرِ وَالْمُرَادْ بِهِ الْإِبَاحَةِ Sometimes the order is mentioned, but what is meant is that recommendation or permissibility, etc. Then he moves on to al-am wal-khas, general and specific. Universal applicability is what includes two or more things without constraint. It comes from the phrase, I included Zayd and Umar with the gift, and I included men in their entirety with the gift. Jayid. Since universality includes comprehensiveness. And then some examples are given there. The phrases which establish universal applicability are four. Singular nouns made definite using the definite article alif and lam. Like, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ Man, al-insan is indeed at a loss. Number two, mass nouns made definite by the definite article. Example, fight the polytheists. In the Noble Quran, verse number 36 in Surah number 9. And that verse is, وَقَاتِلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَقَاتِلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ Number three, ambiguous nouns like, whoever for... whoever enters my house is safe. Whoever enters my house is safe. Whatever. Whatever came to me from you, I have taken it. Right? These are general universal terms. Whichever. Whichever of my slaves comes to you, be good to him. Whichever you desire, I give it to you. Wherever. Wherever you are, I am with you. Whenever. Whenever you wish, I will come to you. Whatever. 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 Whatever do you have? Whatever do you have? Whatever you have. Brother, give me something. What? Whatever you have. Whatever, anything, whatever you have. Right? And many others. The negative with indefinite nouns. No man is in the house. Right? Universal applicability is an attribute of utterances. It is not permissible to claim universal applicability for actions and other things which take their course. He continues, particular applicability al-khas, so particular applicability, that's how they translate khas, is the opposite of universal applicability. So it is said, that which does not include two or more things without constraint. Example, one man, two men, and three men. Right? So there is takhsis here. Particular applicability or takhsis. Particularization, takhsis, is distinguishing part of the sentence. Example, removing it. Example, removing those who had a pact from Allah's statement, fight the polytheists. So those who have an agreement with us, we have a treaty with them, they are excluded from this matter. Phrases for declaring something particular, something khas, are divided into connected and disconnected. So the connected particularization includes the connected takhsis, could be number one, exceptions, jayid. Number two, conditionals, honor Banu Tamim if they come to you, honor those of them who come to you. So honor those of them who come to you. So there's condition there. Qualification using an attribute, honor the fuqaha of Banu Tamim. So there's qualification based upon an attribute. Then the author continues, accepting or istithna, exclusion, is removing something that otherwise would have been included by the phrase. Example, the group came except Zayd. Exclusion is valid only with the condition that something remains from that which the exclusion is made. Example, I owe him 10 dinars except 9. I owe him 10 dinars except 9, meaning I only owe him 1 dinar. If he were to say excluding 10, it would be invalid and he would owe 10. So you can't say I owe him 10 dinars excluding 10. What do you owe? It doesn't work like that, right? One of its conditions is that it be linked to the phrase. So it would not be valid for one to say, the fuqaha came, and one day later say, except Zayd. It must be connected. If it is, it is permissible to put that which is excluded before that from which it is excluded. One could say, except Zayd, no one stood up. Permissible to say this. Except Zayd, no one stood up. It is permissible to exclude from the same category as was mentioned above and from other things. Example, the people came excluding the donkeys. Different categories. The people came excluding the donkeys. Conditionals that have exclusions are permitted to proceed that which is stipulated by. Example, Ibnu Tamim comes to you, honor them. Then the author moves on to mutlaq and muqayyid, the absolute and the qualified. When something is qualified by an attribute, the unqualified is interpreted as being similarly qualified, such as a slave qualified by belief in some places. Example, concerning expiation for murder, and unqualified in others concerning the expiation for likening one's wife to one's mother, the matter of zihar. Thus, the unqualified is interpreted in light of the qualified, as we discussed. Then the author states, it is possible for the Quran to be rendered particular by the Quran. So there is takhsis of the Qur'an by the Qur'an. The Qur'an to be rendered particular by the sunnah. So the sunnah is making takhsis of the Qur'an. The sunnah to be rendered particular by the Qur'an. So we're making takhsis of the sunnah by the Qur'an. And number four, the sunnah to be rendered particular by the sunnah. Takhsis of the sunnah by the sunnah. Jayib. And utterances to be rendered particular by analogical reasoning. So there's takhsis by qiyas. By utterances, we mean the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This argument is that qiyas rests upon a text from the Quran or a sunnah. And so it is as though the text is performing the exclusion, right? وَنَعْنِي بِالنُّطْقِ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَقَوْلَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِأَنَّ الْقِيَاسَ تَسْتَنِدْ إِلَى نَصْ مِنْ كِتَابْ أَوْ سُنَّةَ فَكَأَنَّهُ مُخَصَّصٌ جيد. So the author stating that takhsis can also occur by qiyas, because qiyas at the end of the day is based upon the Quran and the Sunnah, so it's as though the Quran and the Sunnah is making the takhsis, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, would that we have covered the matters of Amr and Nahi, mutlaq and muqayyid, am and khas, walhamdulillah. This lesson was not supposed to be such a long lesson, but remember, this is usul al-fiqh. We are talking about the back-end system. We are talking about the foundation. We are talking about the framework which is working behind the scenes. And it is important that we familiarize ourselves with these matters. Usul al-fiqh is extremely important. حياكم الله. Until we meet again, بارك الله فيكم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us an increase in beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this knowledge a proof for us and not a proof against us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a means for uniting the Muslims around us and not a means for further division. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us keys of goodness and make us locks upon the evil. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and keep us blessed until we meet again. Barakallahu feekum. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barakal abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.